Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. We're taking you through a Friday evening, getting you ready for high school hoops tonight. Our spotlight tonight, Oberlin taking on Columbia. Again, our coverage begins at 7 o'clock with the Dr. Karen Kramer pregame show. Tim Alcorn has the call for you. And we will continue to talk high school hoops as we bring in Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram. Joel, a pleasure as always to have you on, my friend. How are you?
Andy, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, boy, a pretty busy week, and that's to be expected as most of these schools coming back from a long winter break. A lot of schools active during that break. There were a couple, though, that took advantage of the break and didn't have any games to play. One of those teams that played and played really well, continuing to be on a pretty nice little roll here, a team that you featured this morning in the Chronicle-Telegram, and that's the Columbia Raiders. Well, they make this week's top five, fourth on the list, as a matter of fact. And based on what we saw this morning and the way you detailed the way things are shaking out on this roster, they've got a pretty balanced and a pretty senior-laden class.
Yeah, you know, Adam Ross, Andy, let's start with him. He's their leading scorer and leading, Brandon Coleman's leading rebounder, but Adam Ross is averaging over 18 points a game. He kind of came out of nowhere. You know, I remember I covered Columbia in their win over Kirtland in the tournament last year, and I look back at that box score, and he had 9 points, but he just sort of blended in. You know, he didn't stand out. You know, Josh Boiling was the Raiders' best player last year as Brandon Coleman sat out the entire year due to an ACL, so... You know, Adam Ross just sort of he blended in, and all of a sudden he's blossomed into this, one of the area's best players, 18.7 boards a game. You know, Larry Babix was telling me that, he shoots it, and when somebody comes out to contest that three-pointer, he can blow right by him. So he is leading the way. And then, you know, Brandon and Bailey Coleman brothers, you know, Bailey last year kind of filled in a little bit as Brandon sat out, like I said, the entire year. I remember Bailey, playing in that Division III postseason game at Kirtland and playing pretty well. So, and now Brandon Coleman's back. He's our leading rebounder, over 8 a game. I think he's averaging nearly 14 points a game. So he's a big boy inside too, and he helps Ross. He helps Ross battle those guys. You know, he takes some of that pressure off of Ross. And then Jared Bozinski, too, is somebody who plays, you know, defends the opponent's best player. You know, he takes on the Luke Howes of the league and Javon Todd and those players, and he'll have his chance at revenge against Howes next week as Columbia takes on Fairview.
And again, Columbia home tonight taking on Oberlin. We'll have that game for you here in just a couple of hours on AM 930 WEOL. Boy, another guy that certainly has made the rounds this year. He's having a heck of a season, and right now his team is playing very, very well. That's Jeremy Sanchez of North Ridgeville. A great week for the Rangers. They won 3 in a row. They'll be tested against Avon coming up a little bit later on tonight. In your mind, Joel, what made Jeremy Sanchez stand out above the rest of the pack to be named this week's player of the week?
Yeah, he had 21 against Avon Lake. Like you said, they won. They've won 3 straight. They're 4-2 in the SWC. I mean, and you think about the SWC, and you almost kind of feel bad for some of these teams that are just below the top group. Lakewood and Olmsted Falls are the class of the league. They'll probably come down to the wire. North Ridgeville's 4-2. Avon, I think, has lost one game. No, they're 4 or 5-2 in the league too, but they've lost to Olmsted Falls and Lakewood as well. So there's some really solid teams in the SWC. Amherst has improved, but they're just sort of unlucky that Olmsted Falls and Lakewood, this is the year where both those teams are dominating. But anyway, Jeremy Sanchez, 21 against Avon Lake. He had 5 threes, grabbed 7 boards, committed just 1 turnover, and then he followed that up with another double-digit game against North Olmsted in a game where we talked about before we hit record. They were, North Ridgeville wasn't terribly happy with how they played. They end up winning, I think, by 16, but I think they pulled their starters. Sanchez only played 3 quarters. So Ridgeville's playing well. They've got a good team, and they've got an interesting week this week. Andy, we said it before that they will take on Avon tonight, and if I can get to their schedule right here, and then they take on Parma and Westlake. So they've got a 3-game week, so it doesn't stop for the Rangers, and they have a rematch against Lakewood where they hope to keep it a little bit closer.
One of the things I enjoy that you do with these kids each week is you go off the court and you ask them questions about what their favorite things to do when they're not playing basketball might be. And to no surprise, he mentions he likes to play video games, loves Fortnite, seems like a lot of high school kids certainly love that game. I was shocked, though, when he mentioned that Derrick Rose was his favorite player, which is just weird to me because, you know, sure, Derrick Rose has had a nice NBA year, but boy, he kind of was off the NBA radar for at least a handful of years there.
Yeah, maybe he reminds him of himself. You know, Sanchez is a guy I profiled in our SWC preview in November, and I feel like both of those players are guys who have chips on their shoulders. You know, Sanchez plays with a lot of emotion and, has a reputation as being a player that maybe you can – get into his head. We talked extensively in November, he and I did, about how do you combat that? How do you manage that? Because other teams know that this is something that they can do to you. So how do you combat that? So I'm thinking maybe Rose is a player that maybe reminds him of himself. You know, has faced some challenges and has succeeded in the face of those challenges. So that's my best guess with Jeremy and Derrick Rose.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's just interesting because, you know, you hear a lot of high school players today pick guys who are certainly considered stars, and Derrick Rose most definitely was at one point. It's just been a long time since he was considered a star. But, no, that's interesting. That's why I enjoy reading the profiles on these guys, because every now and again you'll get an answer that you certainly don't expect. And speaking of things we weren't expecting to hear at this juncture of the academic year, Mike Perry detailed this for the Chronicle this morning, talking about the Lake Erie League perhaps making a couple of new additions for the 2020-2021 academic year. Thoughts on the potential of having both Shaker Heights and Garfield Heights joining the Lake Erie League?
Yeah, I think it makes sense for those two schools. It doesn't certainly help Lorraine from a logistics perspective. You know, Lorraine is kind of marooned out in Lorraine County in this league. I think the trade-off for Lorraine and why they do it is the competition is really good, you know, so you've got Maple Heights, you've got Cleveland Heights, you've got Bedford in some sports, football, I know they were good. Warrensville Heights is usually good on the basketball court, Shaw, and now if you add Shaker Heights and Garfield Heights, you're adding two more schools that are really good at basketball. So I think that, you know, Brian Corey was quoted in a couple of the stories about, hey, look, this is good for Lorraine. You know, they were already at a disadvantage logistically, so I don't think they really took that into account. I think it's more about, you know, making sure that the Lorraine basketball team has the best possible competition, and these schools certainly add that. So, you know, you've been reading the coverage, you know, Garfield Heights and Shaker Heights, it makes a ton of sense. You know, I mean, they were coming out to Elyria to play, and you know, they had Euclid and Solon, but the rest of their schedule, conference schedule, was not logistically advantageous. So for those schools, it makes a ton of sense. For Lorraine, it doesn't. But again, it sure seems like Brian Corey, who's the president of the Lake Erie League, is looking big picture at health of the league, first of all, and then, you know, competition for his school for sure.
Yeah, health of the league makes a heck of a lot of sense. And, you know, I know we talk basketball when we have you on Fridays, but that doesn't mean we can't dive into the football side of things. That really helps out those Lake Erie League teams when it comes to scheduling football games because, well, they've had to look long and hard at opponents outside the Lake Erie League, which was a little bit short on conference games. I mean, I know Lorraine actually had to schedule a couple of games with teams that were in Canada. So that would certainly help out all parties involved when you have fewer non-conference opponents to take a look at when you're trying to put a football schedule together too. So I'm sure that definitely came into effect. Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking some high school hoops, and I want to get into the rest of the top five. And we'll begin with the team at the very top. The Lorraine Titans suffered their first loss over the weekend, falling to Akron's St. Vincent St. Mary's, another really, really good team. You can make the argument that they're better than really, really good. They are a great team. And Joel, it sounds like the Titans are most definitely going to be tested against Cleveland Heights tonight.
Yeah, Cleveland Heights, we talked about it last week, Andy, ahead of the play-by-play classic, but Cleveland Heights is 6-3. They beat up on Camp McKinley at EC last weekend. They've lost three games. I hate to regurgitate my material, but they lost three games this season by a combined 7 points. And those games were to St. Ignatius, VASJ, and Cleveland Central Catholic, which, as you know, those are three perennial, you know, state Final Four teams in their respective divisions. So This will be a tough one for Lorraine. And if you remember last year, Cleveland Heights was a team that ended Lorraine's run atop the Lake Erie League. Now, we know that worked out okay for Lorraine because they went to the state Final Four, but, Cleveland Heights last year ended the Titans' run of, I think, three or four straight LEL basketball championships. So should be a great matchup tonight. Andy, I'm unable due to two little kids at home to do much game coverage for the Chronicle. I actually emailed the editor, by the way, I can kind of do this game if you need me to. And he said, we got you covered. So I was a little disappointed, but it should be a great game. I'll be following along on social and listen to you guys and your coverage of Columbia, too.
Yeah. You will be listening along while you're listening to that Baby Shark song. That song has been stuck in my head all day long, and that's your fault because I read that tweet about you destroying that song earlier today.
It's not good. Any parents of small children that are listening know my pain in the Baby Shark song. No doubt about it.
All right. So if you haven't heard it, don't try and YouTube it because it's going to be stuck in your head the rest of the afternoon and probably the rest of the evening as well. Moving on to some other teams in your top five, Vermilion's still going strong at number two. And doesn't really appear as though they're going to move from that spot anytime soon.
Sailors are 10-2. They're 6-0 in SBC play, and they travel to Port Clinton tonight. Port Clinton is 1-9, so I envision Vermilion moving to 11-2, and they're just rolling. Their two losses, Andy, were to Lorraine and Spire. I mean, they have been dominant this year, and they just keep rolling along in that SBC schedule. You know, they play, let's see if I can count real fast, 9 straight SBC games and close the season against Clearview. So, hopefully some Lorraine County fans can get a chance to see Vermilion because they're a fun team to watch. And unfortunately, with them playing out in Sandusky and Erie counties, we don't see a ton of them. But they're certainly rolling.
Well, another team that's playing extraordinarily well this year, the Clearview Clippers. They had a challenging week, but came through it with a win and a loss. Certainly not bad considering who they played. And well, tonight you'd like to think they won't have any problems with Brooklyn, but it could be pretty interesting tomorrow as they take on Elyria.
Brooklyn tonight at Elyria, and Andy, we talked about this last week, but their schedule gets real tough. You know, they lost to Fairview, had a nice bounce-back win against Keystone on Tuesday. Elyria tomorrow, Lorraine next Saturday, then the following week, Columbia and Bay. So they've got a really difficult schedule. We'll find out more about the Clippers certainly over the next 2 or 2.5 weeks or so.
Tomorrow night they're taking on Elyria. That's a game that you can hear here on AM 930 WEOL, online at WEOL.com, and with that AM 930 WEOL mobile app as well. Our coverage of that game tomorrow begins at 7 o'clock. That's a fun team to watch. And you get the feeling that if they could continue to do what they like to do, and that's apply that full court pressure, that's the kind of style, Joel, I think that at this point in the season, if you can continue to maintain that kind of consistency and that kind of intensity, that's the kind of thing that can really wear some teams pretty thin.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And we talked about it a bunch of times, Javon Todd, Jameer Millings, they create a lot of problems. It was interesting and frankly pretty surprising to see Fairview be able to handle that so convincingly, beating Clearview by 20 last week.
And taking a look now at the fifth and final team on your top five, the Avon Eagles at 7-2. They've got a pair of interesting games this week, and it all begins tonight, a game we've already kind of alluded to against North Ridgeville. They've won 3 straight. That should be a real tough test, so this should be a very challenging week for the Eagles.
Yeah, Ryan Malloy and Dean Emmerine, and they've got some really solid players that you don't hear a lot about, Andy, you know. Lorraine and Vermilion and some of these teams get top billing in the county, but Avon's got a really solid team with a lot of really good players, and they've got Ridgeville, Amherst, 2 really improved teams. They should be able to beat Berea Mid-Park on the 18th. Then they go to Olmsted Falls, and then looking at their schedule down the stretch, they've got Lakewood again, they've got Lorraine, and more SWC action. So they're flying under the radar. I think I had them in the top five earlier in the year, had Emmerine as a player of the week, but they've really flown under the radar. They got blown out by Olmsted Falls. I'm sure they'll be looking to avenge that. And they hung with Lakewood last week on Friday, or on Tuesday, excuse me. They lost by 14. They hung with them. And those are two teams they'll need to beat if they want to have any chance at a league title in the SWC.
Well, hard to believe, my friend, but we are just about a month away from the tournament pairings being announced. So that means the next few weeks here are going to get really, really interesting as these teams vie for the higher seed and try to get some better matchups along the way. Joel, a pleasure as always, my friend. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll do it again next Friday.
Looking forward to it, Andy. Talk to you then.
Thank you very much, my friend. Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking high school hoops. We need to step aside. Steve Bailey and I will come back right after this here on AM 930 WEOL.